as for bringing people here to release them, well, you know, that was proposed for one group of people, and that's the Uyghurs.
Right.
Now, Uyghurs are, and for a long time I thought they were Chinese Muslims. Well, they're not Chinese. They are a Caucasian, Turkic.
Yeah, Turkic.
Who live in Central Asia and are Muslim. And they some of them got included in China when Mao took over in 1947 or whenever it was. And they've been rather unhappy about that ever since because, for one thing, the Chinese are moving into their area and attempting to sort of suppress their culture. Well, the Uyghurs at Guantanamo are young men who went south to Afghanistan for various reasons, and they deny that they ever had any interest in supporting the Taliban. They were going south just to get out of China. So they actually are people on our side in the sense that they don't like the communist Chinese government. To my great surprise, it turns out there's a large Uyghur community right over in Virginia near Washington.
Hmm.
Some of whom are very successful professional people and so on. And they offered to take these people in. There are only about 20 of them.
Hmm.
And that was where the hue and cry really got started. Well, I guess it's pretty well established that the Uyghurs won't be coming to Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah, and there's interest, political interest, to protect the Uyghurs in their situation in China, right? I think it's neat that it's been brought to our attention. There's a lot of even atrocities that are happening with Uyghurs and mostly religious dissidents in China right now, and that's one of the groups that they are particularly having a tough time over there.
Right, but Chinese are suppressing Uyghur language and culture, and also especially their religion. They have no interest in allowing free exercise of the Muslim religion anywhere in China. So, yeah, these people are quite legitimate religious and political refugees. Something like four of them went to, it was Bermuda, wasn't it? And another half dozen or so are going to Palau. Four or five of them went to Albania a couple of years ago, actually. So they are gradually being dispersed around the world. The fact that the U.S. resolutely will not take any of them makes it awfully hard to bargain with other countries to take various people.
You said the gentleman, Bismullah,
yeah.
He was accused of being a collaborator with the Taliban or whoever. So his name got on a list, but and this goes to something that you said with regard to the same department that put them into this situation, the same department that is reviewing their situation and effectively trying them and trying to drive the laws that regard how they're going to be tried and things like that. So everything is in one branch, which goes contrary to the structure of the Constitution, where you've got accountability through separate branches so that nobody is trying their own case.
Yes, precisely. And that's where habeas corpus comes in. There's nothing particularly valuable about habeas corpus from the point of view of a defendant or somebody who's locked up, because the burden of proof on the person trying to get out in habeas corpus is higher than it would be anywhere else, I guess.
Right.
But that's the essential feature of it, the beauty of it, if you will. It does get the question of personal liberty. Is this person to be confined or let out? It gets that out of one branch and into another independent branch.
Now, I have a question about this, and now that I've got you here, and I appreciate your time, this is very valuable. This is a very heady show. We have a little entertainment factor here, but we're talking about substance that matters, and rather than passions of things that some political pundit would try to get people to be swayed in a certain direction on policy without talking about the data. As I understand habeas corpus, really, it's say, bring us the body and show us that you've got a good cause for keeping them there. There's some danger to the public. As far as I understand it, habeas corpus doesn't mean that a court would take the case, take full jurisdiction. If it seems to me, if the government can show why the person would be classified an alien enemy combatant and should be tried under the military commission and stay confined under that executive department's program. It seems to me if they can show that, and I don't know what the burden, if it's preponderance or demonstrate by clear and convincing evidence, you would know that better than I would, but it's really to be able to show. If they don't have anything to show, then they're really being held accountable, and I don't know what the mechanism is for release there. As far as I understand it, I don't think that a guy would just be pulled out and plopped into a court and then have to have the same standard of evidence of beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, could you clarify that for me?
Yeah. As soon as any of these people are indicted and formally charged in a criminal court, that will be the end of habeas corpus. The government will only have to come back in and say he's indicted, he's in the same status as any bank robber or whatever, and he's going to get his due process in the criminal court. And they could have done that years ago. And again, I think we should call people out and say, why did you not do it? Here, some of these people are dangerous. They should have been criminally charged. As long as the government doesn't do any of these things, then there are a lot of open questions. In fact, I'd say all the questions are open. When the Supreme Court said habeas corpus will reach people at Guantanamo, it was careful to go on to say, we're not sure what the answers will be once they're brought into court.
Right.
We're not sure what the standard proof will be, and we're not sure what it is the government has to prove. And this got tremendously fudged on March 13th of this year by the new Obama administration. Prior to that, the government had been saying these people are enemy combatants. And that was great for my client, because he clearly was not an enemy combatant. So I thought that once we got into court, the judge would just have to say, well, he's not an enemy combatant. That's the end of it. Let him out. The new administration filed a paper that said they were no longer going to use that term. And then when it came to what they were going to use and why the people are now being held, they really became masterfully fudgy. They said they were studying it. They said there was a commission that was going to look into what the standards were. They said it was all by analogy to the law of war. Well, I don't know what that means, and I don't think anybody does. The cases are working through the system. We've had so far, I can't be precise, but I believe it's something like 38 habeas corpus cases have gone to final judgment. Of those, 30 were released, or cleared, were ordered released. They were ordered released. None of them have been released.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, but it is the prerogative of the separate branch, and that goes into a different discussion. There are other mechanisms to hold the executive department accountable, and it isn't. And they don't necessarily have an obligation to the court. They have an obligation to the Constitution and how they behave. We're ultimately supposed to hold them accountable for that, whether in elections or obviously Congress could impeach somebody if they felt like it or something. Of course, I guess just like in Andrew Johnson's case, they actually had to write a law that they knew the executive was going to break so that they could impeach him. You know, we don't know what's going to happen here. This is a very tricky point of American history.
Well, Congress is on the other side.
Every
time it looks like somebody's going to get a hearing or a release, Congress goes and passes something saying they can't be.
Right.
The case now that is before the Supreme Court is Kayemba. Kayemba is a Uyghur. The district court judge in Kayemba did order that he be brought to the U.S. and released, and he had, in support of that, of course, the habeas corpus statute, which says that's what happens. That's what the phrase means, bring the body, have the body in court. The D.C. Circuit said that he couldn't do that, and that he couldn't do anything else because the executive branch had filed a declaration sort of wringing their hands and saying, we don't have anything to do with these, that we can do with these people. So the Supreme Court is going to have to come to grips with the question of, who's right, the district court or the D.C. Circuit. I myself see that case as a conceptually simple one, namely, habeas corpus has to do with releasing people. Doesn't say anything about where you release them or how you release them. I don't see why the court order can't simply say they can no longer be held. It's what the government does with them is the government's problem. As a practical matter, I'd like to point out that on the base at Guantanamo, there are a number of Cuban refugees living there. Most of them work on the base.
Right.
If nothing else, Uyghurs could simply be let out of their prison and put on the ferry over to the other side of the base, where there are apartments and the Cubans are living, and stay there.
There's a nice golf course and a bowling alley. It's great. And a McDonald's.
It's a pretty grim place. I wouldn't want to live there myself, but I suppose it beats being confined in the behind the barbed wire. And I doubt they would stay there. I'm sure that somebody would give them asylum, and they would leave fairly soon.
Right, even one of the Caribbean islands or something like that.
Yeah, Jamaica is only an hour away by regular scheduled flight.
Well, we can kind of wrap this up because I don't want to take you all day. Can I tell you are fabulous? This is kind of, to most people, kind of dry, but I think it's necessary. Just my perspective right now, Congress is focusing a lot on economic activity. President Bush said in his 2007 State of the Union address, government has been called for these purposes to extend the nation's prosperity. That's not what it said in the Declaration of Independence, of course. Secure these rights, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So there's a difference there. And I think what's happening right now, there's a great focus on what everybody is fearing most, knee-jerk, which is the economy, forgetting how important it is and how imperative it is for Congress to actually pay attention to what's going on with this situation and enact legislation so people will actually know how to behave. The courts will know how to behave. The executive department will know how to behave. And this is just my perspective. I think it's imperative for Congress right now to really sit down and very carefully go through this. I mean, they've got enough examples in this situation to kind of come up with different scenarios. Well, how will this affect your client who's in this situation? How will it affect Sheikh, what's his name? They've got to make sure that they take care of the Sheikh Mohammed guy. At the same time, they're not enabling somebody to be pulled off the street because somebody who doesn't like them accuses them of something. Right now, you and I, anybody, even in America, could be accused of being an alien enemy combatant. Their allegiance to America isn't really true or whatever. And it may be completely bogus, completely false. But if there's no process to examine it, you are effectively potentially stuck in the hoosegow indefinitely.
Yeah, that's true. When Congress tried to suspend habeas corpus in the Military Commissions Act, it had no mention of Guantanamo. It was not geographically limited at all. It applied to anybody accused of being an alien enemy combatant anywhere in the world and within the United States. The Supreme Court struck that down. So I guess it's a dead letter, but that's still where Congress seems to think the people want. And that I really don't understand. I don't think the people want that. There's a noisy minority of fear-mongers who will cry out against anything that happens. I certainly don't see from what I see that there's any public demand to suspend the Constitution. There may have been for a few months after 9/11, but that was 8 years ago.